Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay. What verse number?
53.
Okay. There's no purport to 53, but we'll chant it. Hiranmayad andakoshad uttaya salileshayat tam avishya mahadevo bahudha nirbibedakam. Hiranmayad andakoshad uttaya salileshayat tam avishya mahadevo bahudha nirbibedakam. Hiranmayat golden, andakoshat, from the egg, uttaya, arising, salile, on the water, shoyat, lying, tam, in it, avishya, having entered, Mahadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bahudha, in many ways, Nirbibheda, divided, come, apertures. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Virat Purusha, situated Himself in that golden egg, which was lying on the water, and He divided it into many departments. Okay, no purport, I'll read the next verse. Nirabhidyata asya pratamam mukam vani tato bhavat vanya vaknir ato nase prano to grana etayo. First of all, a mouth appeared in Him. And then came forth the organ of speech, and with it the god of fire, the deity who presides over that organ. Then a pair of nostrils appeared, and in them appeared the olfactory sense, as well as prana, the vital air. Purport. With the manifestation of speech, fire also became manifested, and with the manifestation of nostrils, the vital air, the breathing process and the sense of smell also became manifested. So, what's happening here is that the personality of Godhead is investing His potency into the universe by personally entering it Himself. He has His agents, like Lord Brahma and others who help Lord Brahma, the Prajapatis, the demigods, the other sages. But there is some part of the creation which the Lord personally takes care of. He glances at Maya and He enters the material elements. He enters, now He's going to enter the universe first, to awaken it, to give it life, etc. consciousness. So that Virat Purusha is like a dummy with no features. You know, just like you make a snowman, and then you put eyes, nose, mouth on him, ears. So these features are these organs are going to have to be added to the Virat Rupa, one by one. Of course, this form is simply a reflection of the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, as are all other living bodies. Their forms are simply reflections of the Supreme Lord's original form. So there's nothing really strange going on here, although it looks unusual. And the Supreme Lord himself definitely existed before this process of creation. This is not the beginning of everything. This is just the reenactment of a periodic process of manifesting a reflection of the reality in the realm of time and space, material realm. It's just an image. It's like showing a movie. Turn on the projector and show the movie against a screen. The reality exists outside the movie. The movie is an image. It was taken of real people doing some things in a real place, and the movie camera made an image of it. And now that image is being shown on the projector, on the screen. Like that, the material world is an image, a picture of the reality. And like all images, it's not the original. It's just a copy. So it is the original and it's not the original. It's a true copy, it's a faithful copy of the original, but it's not the original itself. And there's many features of the original that don't show in the picture, that are missing from the picture. Many valuable features. Just like if you have a black and white photograph, it is missing the colors. And even if you have a color photograph, it's a two-dimensional image, it's missing the third dimension. It's missing, it's a photograph taken at a certain point in time, so it's missing the dynamics of movement in time. A person has a life that goes over a duration of time. Things happen during his life. That is the biography of a person will tell the things that happen at different times in the person's life. But a photograph can only give you, you may have the photograph of Abraham Lincoln inside his biography. So the photograph just shows him as a young man, fresh and eager, or as an old man facing death at the end of the Civil War, about to be assassinated, big wrinkles on his face. You take the American penny, one cent piece, it has the picture of Abraham Lincoln with wrinkles on his face, because that's the Abraham Lincoln just before he died, you know, ready to die. So the photograph or the image of a person is a snapshot of a certain moment of time in his life. It's just a slice of the whole thing. It's incomplete. It's missing the dynamics of time. Like that, the whole material world is just a slice of reality. It's only three dimensions. Who knows how many dimensions there are in the spiritual world? Unlimited dimensions of spiritual reality. And here we have just a three-dimensional image of reality that only moves in a single dimension of time, linear time. You can't go backwards, you can't go forwards, you can't jump around. You have to go straight in a certain, you know, straightforward, and you can't backtrack at all. That is material time. Spiritual time is unlimited. You can do the same thing over and over again. You can go backwards. You can skip around. That is the freedom of Krishna's Leela and of even the jiva souls who participate in the enjoyable pastimes of the Lord. You like to do something, then you want to do it again. I enjoy eating strawberry ice cream. I'm not satisfied that I ate strawberry ice cream once in my life. I'd like to eat it as often as possible, every day if possible, several times a day if possible. If it didn't give me a stomachache, I would eat it every 10 minutes. But there's a limit in the material world. The idea is that something enjoyable you want to do again and again. But there are events. If you get married, you can't, unless you get divorced, you can't get married again. You can only graduate from, you know, from the university once every time you get a degree. You can only do each thing once. But in the spiritual world, you can enjoy the best things over and over again, as much as you want to, just like you have a, you know, a recording and you play that music over and over again. Well, the reality can be replayed in the spiritual world. Not just your MP3 files, but the reality, life, can be replayed. And played at different speeds if you want, and backwards if you want. And you can jump around anywhere you want. Of course, it's ultimately Krishna's freedom, but the devotees are also given freedom by Krishna to enjoy the pastimes as they like. Which pastimes will you enter into? The ones that you're attracted to. Don't be afraid that, you know, there's so many pastimes and there's such a bureaucracy. You know, to go to the spiritual world, I have to pass through such a bureaucracy. Who knows what pastime they're going to assign me to? Maybe one I don't like. It doesn't work like that. You will be naturally, you'll be automatically posted to the pastimes that you're attracted to the most. You will, the form of the Lord that you're attracted to and worship will be the one that you go to. What you want is what you'll get. And that's different than the material world. Material world, you can't always get what you want in the material world. You usually don't get what you really want, what you actually want. Especially since we don't know what we want. We think we want something when it's not what will actually make us happy. And we get that, and it doesn't make us happy. So spiritual life is much more satisfying than material life. The Lord is kindly enacting his pastimes of creation. Not that he gets pleasure out of material creation. Material creation is a horrible thing. But he can't help it. He enjoys everything he does, like a little child. You bring a child to a funeral, he'll play around. Even at his own father's funeral. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize he's 3 years old. He doesn't realize his father has died. Yeah, he's playing at his father's own funeral. It's his own father's funeral. Because he's a little child, little baby. He doesn't know when to be miserable. He just plays. But Krishna's like that. He doesn't know when to be miserable either. He can't be miserable. He can't be unhappy. Even the material creation doesn't make him unhappy. Because he's not affected by it. So everything for him is playing. Creating this material dungeon for the punishment of the fallen souls is another one of Krishna's playful pastimes. He plays at lying down in the water, like a child playing in the bathtub. Yeah, he's playing in the Garbhodak ocean, lying down. Sometimes we see the image of baby Krishna lying on a, what kind of bilva leaf, in the middle of the ocean of devastation, sucking his own toe. This doesn't serve any practical purpose. This is just playing. Yeah, this is God, how God plays. So when he lies down on Antashesh, for him it's fun. Goes to sleep, takes a nap, sweats during his sleep, and the bubbles of universes come out as his perspiration. And now, he's not finished playing. These elements have evolved out of Prakriti, material nature, and he's entering personally into them. Entering into the Virat Rupa. Where did it come from? Out of his navel, his belly button. A flower grew out of his belly button. This is an unusual thing.
even and maybe in a cartoon you would see something. Somebody goes to sleep and out of his navel a flower grows. Yeah, quite peculiar. And this is God. He's playing. While he's sleeping, flower grows out of his navel. And the creator of the universe, Almighty God, Brahma, appears on the top of the flower. So that hasn't happened yet. Now just the stem of the flower is there. The flower hasn't grown, just the stem of the plant is there. And that is, that stem of the lotus, growing out of the belly button of Mahavishnu, the Garbhadakshay Vishnu here, he's inside the universe, is the Virat Rupa, is the universal form. And it's just now amorphous, no shape, but it's taking shape. Desire for eating and talking creates, that desire impels a mouth to appear in that formless shape. And then after that, the words will come out of the mouth. And his nose will appear, and in the nose will appear the air of life, and so on. All the different organs will appear one after another. In the body that has been given life by the presence of the Supreme Lord Himself. Prabhupada often says that the Virat Rupa is an imaginary form of the Supreme Lord. Because God never takes a material body. And the Virat Rupa is definitely a material body. It's made of material elements. And Krishna, in all his incarnations, sambhavami atma mayaya, I appear by my spiritual potency. I always have a spiritual body, never a material body. Devotees can appear in the material world, and they usually take material bodies. But God himself always comes in his original spiritual forms. So the Virat Rupa cannot be God's body, literally, because it's a material body. That's okay. Every material body has two souls. Every material body. There's a jiva soul. Material bodies are manufactured for jiva souls. God doesn't want any. There's no demand on the part of God for material bodies. So there's no market to sell material bodies to God. He doesn't want any. Okay? When you're selling something, you have to target your market. Those people who aren't at all interested in your product, you ignore them. You look for the market of people. You target your advertisement to the people who might buy what you are selling. You're selling something to make your hair black. So people whose hair is already black aren't going to be interested in the product. The people who have, light hair, they'll want something to make their hair blacker for some reason. Or people who have black hair will want to take something that'll make their hair lighter. It depends. You have to target your market. So the targeted market for material bodies is not God, but the jivas. They're the ones who want to enjoy material bodies. So material bodies, Maya is economical. She doesn't create something for nobody unless somebody wants it. Now they're building condominiums next door. I doubt they've sold any of them yet. So they're speculating. They're building houses not knowing who, or apartments, not knowing whether anybody's going to buy them or not. But other contractors work on a different scheme. They only build a house after someone commissions it. So Maya's like that. She doesn't build a material body unless there's somebody who wants it. She doesn't just speculate and build a bunch of material bodies and hope that maybe someone will want them. So the Virat Rupa was created for a jiva. There's already a customer. And who's that? Lord Brahma. Before he appears on top of the lotus, he enters the lotus stem itself, and that becomes his body. Brahma, in other words, is the jiva who occupies the universal form as his own body. And every material body has two souls, jiva soul and paramatma. And who's the paramatma there? Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So it's Garbhadakshay Vishnu, it's not his body directly. He's the super soul in that body. The body belongs to Brahma. It's a material body that belongs to Brahma. And Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is there as the super soul, the Paramatma, in the universal form. That's what why he's entered. Just as Paramatma will later on enter all the living bodies in his third expansion as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. But in his first expansion, Mahavishnu, he already entered the Mahatattva, Pradhan. That was the super soul of the whole Mahatattva. Now we have many separate universes and a separate Garbhodakshaya Vishnu in each one. Each of those Garbhodakshaya Vishnus becomes the super soul of the universal form that is occupied by Lord Brahma, and from which Brahma will create everything in the material world. That's the actual situation. God doesn't have a material body, but he sits in the material body along with the jiva who owns it. So we'll read more in the later verses about this manifestation of the Virat Rupa. We don't have to be confused thinking that how can it be God's form? It's not his form. He's just the witness sitting alongside Brahma, who is the jiva. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. In the world of Lord Brahma, there's 64 dimensions.
Something like this,
I've never heard such a thing.
Yeah, I
know. Do you know any Shastric reference for that?
Yeah, this is the context of the question.
Okay, the question is addressed. I never heard of such a thing. Yeah. If you can dig up where you heard it from, then we can try to trace it.
From some lectures, but they also didn't.
Okay, maybe it's there, but I never saw it. That there are 64 dimensions in Lord Brahma's universe. He's got four faces, so maybe it's some idea that therefore 64 dimensions. But usually four faces means three dimensions. If you want to, according to Cartesian geometry and Cartesian algebra, if you want to show, describe three-dimensional space, you need four lines. You need four quadrants. You know, you have to draw a line this way, a line this way, and a third line this way, but you actually get four quadrants. So that's how four faces, facing four ways, makes three dimensions, not four, and not more than that. To have 64 dimensions, Brahma would have to have 65 heads, or whatever, 64 heads. Maybe there's other universes. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. Number of dimensions in our universe is generally understood as related to the number of heads that Brahma has.
I have another question about this universal form is an imaginary one. And that means that the Lord doesn't need to take it.
But yes, yes.
But what is the difference when Supreme Lord enters the form of deity? Before he enters, it's also some kind of material elements before installation.
No, not before installation. That's not our understanding. Our understanding that any image of God is not different from him. Any image, in sound, in any form. In sound and visual form, it's a formality. Actually, the deity, that prana pratishtha is a fiction. The deity form is non different from Krishna, installed or not installed. And yes, but formal worship is only started after installation. What is actually going on in installation is that the deity is a contract made, and the deity agrees to accept regular worship. Jai Shri Gauri. Do you think that the statue is lifeless before the installation?
No, that is not my question.
Yeah.
Let's suppose that the have some lamp of metal or wood formless.
Yes.
And then Murti Bala do some work and he creates some image.
Yes.
According to Shastras,
yes.
It's an image of God is described in Shastras.
Yes.
But in what time it becomes, looks like it's a gradual process. In what time?
Well, whenever God's form, see, it looks to us like the Murtiwala is making an image of God, but actually God manifests his own image. Sambhavami, I myself, Atmamaya, by my own energy, I manifest. Also in the deity form. Deity is just another incarnation. This is one of the five kinds of expansions of God. It's the Arsha avatar. It's an avatar. It's not transformation of matter into spirit. It's manifestation of spirit. So whenever Krishna, by his sweet will, shows himself, either even partially or imperfectly, or even in distorted form, he's present. Because what's actually going on, although from one side it looks like, or it is happening, someone's carving out of a block of wood an image of Krishna, or out of marble. It was just a block of marble, like other blocks of marble sitting around. But now someone's grabbing it into a picture, an image of Krishna. But that's just one side of it. What's going on that's more significant is that Krishna chooses to appear in that marble. He shows his image, and that image is not different than him. The form of Krishna, just like Jagannath, the carving didn't finish; it was interrupted by the celestial deity maker Vidyapati. The king broke the promise and came to look while it was still being the deity was still being carved, and therefore the carver left it unfinished. Jagannath is an unfinished image. But certainly he's, you know, everyone recognizes him as Krishna. I mean, well, at least the devotees who know recognize him as Krishna, even though the image is incomplete. So whenever Krishna wants to show himself, then he's immediately present. It's avatar. Avatar is not actually a descent, although the word says descent. It's actually lifting the curtain. It's the spirit exhibiting itself, spiritual reality exhibiting itself. It's always there.
Then the question, what is the difference between this global material form of Virat Rupa? Because Supreme Lord also chooses to manifest there.
No, he chooses to enter. The Virat Rupa is not his form. It's a form. It's a material form. It's modeled after the image of God, as all other forms are, all other living forms are. But it's not his form. It's not described as an avatar. It's actually proper description is it's the first material body, and he enters it as a witness, supersoul. But entering is different than it being your, you know, just entering a body. It's not the same as it being your body. It's not a transcendental form of the Lord. It's not. But the Archa Vigraha is the transcendental form of Krishna.
Virat Rupa is not eternal form in Paramyama.
It's a display of Krishna's eternal form. But Archa, by definition, is limited in the restricted realm of time and space. So the Archa, the image itself, is temporary, but it's an image, it's a display of the eternal form. So, you know, you have to say it's both eternal and not eternal. The image that's shown is always there. You can break the deity. The deity can be destroyed, the statue. But the deity can re-manifest itself in another piece of stone. Because the Lord that is manifested is eternal. Just like there are eternal deity forms in the world. Lord Haridev is one of them.
So the temple was destroyed and rebuilt, and it was partially destroyed again. The deity was stolen, and now the deity that's there is a replica deity. But Lord Haridev can choose to re-manifest himself in the replica in the second form, in the Pratibhu image.
You just mentioned and that this Viratrupa is not the body of the Lord. He just chooses to enter. But we still have this expression that the universal form of the Lord, and it's everywhere. I mean, there are a lot of places.
Yes, and that shouldn't be taken. Yes, that should not be taken literally. That's sort of metaphorical to say that it's his body. That's when Prabhupada says that's imaginary. What's imaginary is the identification of the body as being Krishna's body. That's a leap of imagination. Just like all material bodies, I think this is my body. That's a similar false identification. It's my body for now. I'm just allowed to use this body with restrictions for a certain amount of time, and then it's taken away from me, and it's annihilated. So it's not my body in a real sense. If it was really mine, it wouldn't be taken away from me.
I also have heard that this Viratrupa is some kind of gross body, but also there is some subtle body of the universe, which is Hiranyagarbha.
It's only gross in the sense that it's material, so it's more gross than spirit, but it's the most subtle kind of matter. It's the subtlest form of material manifestation. Subtler than that are the elements, but the elements don't manifest anything. By themselves, the elements don't manifest. When they combine, then the product is the Virat Rupa. When the elements can actually combine with one another, only then is there any kind of manifestation. Any things actually are produced. You just have raw elements before that. So the first actually produced thing in the material creation is the Virat Rupa, and therefore it's the most subtle. It's more subtle than everything else that comes after. It's only called gross relative to spirit. It's more gross than spirit. The Hiranyagarbha is identified in the third canto purports as actually being the subtle body of the Virat. Just like you have two jivas, you have two bodies. You have a gross and subtle body. So what we call the Virat is the regular physical body. Yes, that's what you mean. Yeah. Relative to the Hiranyagarbha, the Virat is the physical body, and the Hiranyagarbha is subtle. There's not much said about it because it's so subtle. Just like your mind, you can't draw a picture of the mind. It doesn't have an identifiable configuration or shape and space, and it doesn't have an exact location, the mind. So you can't draw a picture about it, of it, and you can't say much about it. The way you can say about the body, you can have a 1,000-page book of anatomy describing the gross body, but the subtle body is a lot harder to analyze and draw pictures of. So you don't see much description of the Hiranyagarbha, subtle body, because what can you say about it? It's too subtle to describe. So therefore, there's more description of the Virat aspect. Although we can't see it, even if we were there at that time, we wouldn't be able to see it. We wouldn't have the apparatus to see it. Brahma can see it. And maybe a few other demigods can see the Virat Rupa, a few yogis. Hardly anybody can see it anyway. But it can be described as if we were seeing it. It can be conceived of, but the Hiranyagarbha is too subtle to conceive much about it, even think about it. Yeah.
Cosmic lotus, is it relates to Virat or Hiranyagarbha, or to both?
Both. Both. Yeah. You can say, well, it's a plant. Plants also have subtle bodies. Yeah. It is the Virat Rupa. And it's the Virat Rupa in both its aspects, subtle and gross. Okay. Kabir?
In the material world, living entities get their bodies as a result of their previous. actually designed by Krishna in the spiritual
world? Maybe Krishna doesn't have to do it himself, but Krishna's spiritual energies will design, will maybe place an order in to Prakriti. You know, this devotee is coming from the spiritual world, provide him a body like this. Yeah. Actually, it's arranged according to time. It's all these arrangements are made according to time. Time determines everything in the material world. So it's just a matter of sending a living entity into the material world from outside. You know, a Shakti, a Nityasiddha devotee is going to come to the material world. You just have to have him enter at the exactly right time that according to his astrological configuration of his birth, he'll have a certain body. There are 4-minute segments. Every 4 minutes, the nature changes. If you're born in a certain 4-minute segment, you'll be a human being. 4 minutes later, if you're born, you'll be a vegetable. And 4 minutes later, after that, you'll be an animal. So it depends in that 12 minutes. It depends which of the 4-minute segments you're born in. And then, according to the position of the planets, you'll have a certain personality. So if you have a transcendental soul coming in from the spiritual world, you just have to have him land at the right moment in time to take a certain kind of body. Just that calculation has to be made, that's all. Just like, you know, if you want to send, you know, the devotee from your temple to Mayapur, you just got to give him a ticket to get him, you know, to Delhi and let him and a train ticket to Calcutta. And the other devotees will help him find Mayapur. You know, you just have to get him to the right place at the right time, and he'll be able to attend the Mayapur festival. You know, he'll figure out, and he'll be told how to do it. You know, when he gets to Mayapur, he'll be escorted to the reception desk, and things will be processed. Like that, you just have to deliver your Nityasiddha devotee at the right place and time, that's all. And everything, Maya will take care of everything then. Maya makes the actual arrangements. Yeah. So you just, you know, pull up on this computer screen, person was born at this time, okay, his karma is this and this, exactly, and it can all be, you know, process just from knowing the exact time and place of birth. So if you can go to Delhi and get your horoscope done fairly expertly, I'm sure the demigods can make even better horoscopes and figure everything out just from the time and place. And then manufacture the body exactly suitable. Okay. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Returning to this topic of yesterday's topic about this avesha of being used by the Shakti, you know that some special personalities are Shakti Vishavatars, and they have such status beginning with their birth, such avatars with the beginning of their lives.
Yes.
But suppose that we all should become used by the Shakti. We are not avatars, Shakti Vesha avatars from the birth.
Yes.
Question is that is it possible if one is not born according to his horoscope as Shakti Vesha, how is it possible for him to get this status of Shakti Vesha?
Maybe you won't be called technically Shakti Vesha if you weren't born one, but you can become taken over by the spiritual energy by taking shelter of it. It's what everyone's supposed to do. That's the natural fulfillment of the potential of human life. It's the only natural thing to do. Do anything else with your life other than becoming possessed by Krishna's internal potency. To do anything else is unnatural. It's an unnatural misuse of your life. It's the only natural, proper thing to do. So not only is it possible, it's the only right thing to do with the human form of life. And it is possible. The general process is get the shelter of the divine potency by getting the shelter of those
who have that shelter. Yeah, pure devotees. By their mercy, you can also be taken over by the spiritual potency. It's because it's natural. It's what we're supposed to, the way we're supposed to be. So there's always a way to revive your natural condition. You just have to give up everything unnatural. But the direct way is to take shelter of Krishna's devotees. Follow their instructions, serve them, and please them. If the devotee is pleased, they'll put in a request to Krishna, and Krishna will have to respond. Okay. Is there anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.